Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 477. Today, Zoe asks, do you have any techniques to tell how, if you're not enthusiastic about a project because it's not the right project, or if it's just going to be hard and your brains are lazy, or if the rest of the world has eaten your enthusiasm and you need to make space to get it back? How do you identify what is in your way so you can get back to writing?
Well, like so many other things in the writing life, Zoe, this is a trial and error process. If the project is beyond you, you will be able to tell because you'll be riding along on it and it'll break. And nothing you do will make it go again. Frequently when this happens, you can put it aside and come back to it in a few months or a couple of years or just a couple of novels and read it over again and see immediately what's broken and fix it and carry on. If you're being lazy, there's a mental fog that goes with that pretty reliably. A sense of around your head. You'll find yourself going to great lengths to distract yourself. You won't be sitting down at the keyboard. You'll be anxious about all sorts of things. The way to find out if this is really the problem is to figure out how to buckle down and do it. And then, you know, you'll at least eliminate that one. If the rest of the world has eaten your enthusiasm and you're not sure how to get it back, well, I mean, it's called depression. That's more of a global version of that white noise in the head problem. It could be just your enthusiasm for this story, in which case you can find that out by trying a different story and seeing how that works out, and then coming back around to this one. If it's your enthusiasm for everything in general, well, you got to find a way to kick yourself into gear. Exercise is a great anodyne for depression, especially intense cardiovascular exercise. It burns off cortisol and clears the head. It's brilliant, brilliant stuff. One of the most reliable ways to kick yourself out of an anti-creative fog. More generally, you can help goose yourself into the right frame of mind by managing your media input or by cutting off excessive media input so that you're forced to come and do battle with the story. I'm throwing out ideas in sort of a spitball kind of fashion because there is no one answer. These kinds of head games are what we all play all the time. It's a moving target because once you figure out how to shut up the voices that are stopping you from working, they'll go and figure out a different way to disguise themselves. And you kind of have to go back to ground zero, except that you have the experience now of having beaten them at least once before, so you know you can do it. Persistence and the willingness to adapt and try different things are your major friends here. Hacking your mind so that you can produce, even though you have all the mental noise going on that all of us do, is one of the most difficult parts of the creative life, and it does not get easier as you get older or you get better. What does happen is you come to expect it. You stop giving it as much credit, and you start looking at it as a part of the challenge that you have to solve every day. In the process, you may find that you do not have the kinds of writer's block that you used to. You have new and exciting kinds, because you've beaten old forms so thoroughly that they don't bother you anymore. But the new and exciting kinds will always be there to get in your way and depress you and make you feel inadequate, so you don't have to worry too much. But don't make the mistake of thinking that it's terminal or that you're uniquely cursed. This is something that we all deal with. It's the cost of doing business. So if nothing that you're trying now works, try something else. Take a listen to the shape of the block and see if you can't find a way to work around it. Figure out where your anxiety is coming from and either try to face it directly or triangulate it so you can go around it and it can just be an ornament on the side of the road instead of a block in the middle of it.
A lot of the same things you would do to wake up your enthusiasm will also work for conquering and managing fear or laziness or other emotional blocks that you might have going on. There's a lot of mind games you can play that basically boil down to don't think about purple elephants. when you've got fear, anxiety, laziness, performance pressure, feelings of inadequacy, perfectionism, anything like that going on that's creatively blocking you, the more you think about that block, the more you directly try to overcome it, the more powerful it's going to be. Writer's block is an anti-fragile thing. You can't, by the way, Anti-Fragile by Nicholas Taleb. Amazing book. You must read it as a creative. It's full of great mind games you can play with yourself. And also some really good advice on financial strategies for creative people. But writer's block is an anti-fragile phenomenon. The more you focus directly on overcoming it, the bigger you make the mountain that you have to climb. It's much better to find a way around it. Or make the mountain smaller deliberately by gamifying it, by having a solidarity partner, by writing something else, or by starting at a different place than you think you should be starting, but you just can't get any traction to go forward with. Those are some of the things you can do, and they work for any of the scenarios you laid out. It's just, it really is a matter of trial and error. A lot of the head games that we play are not things that you can tackle directly. You have to be creative about it, which on the upside, that's kind of the business we're in, right? So we can apply some of that creativity towards hacking our own brains. But what you're talking about when you're talking about creativity is you're talking about managing your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is an inherently non-rational thing. And so if you're supremely well integrated, your rational and your subconscious and all the levels of your consciousness are talking to each other, which is a fantastic thing to aspire to and work on. It's very, very useful. The further you get down that road, if you're supremely well integrated, you can go from idea to hack to practice pretty directly. But nobody is entirely integrated. And people who are supremely well integrated in one domain can be supremely poorly integrated when faced with a different set of challenges because they haven't had to develop those skills and muscles, analogously speaking. This is the reason why, say, in the ancient world, artists would talk about creativity as if it was something external that channeled through them, whether it was the muses or the spirits of the dead or whatnot, because by removing themselves from the mental model, they were able to disinhibit themselves. Inhibition is the killer to creativity, as I've talked about time and again on this podcast over the last several years. And what you're talking about eventually is disinhibition. Now, all of that said, sometimes you do have an idea that's beyond you. That one I pretty well know how to spot now because I've done it a few times. Not quite sure I can adequately explain how to spot it, but I'm going to give it a go, just in case. When an idea is beyond you, you will be writing the story, and you'll be getting a story out of it, but it will not be the story you wanted to tell. It'll not be the story that's in your head, and it will frustrate the hell out of you. You may even get to the end of it and be proud of the story you wrote, but it's not the story you were wanting to tell. You may not get that far. You may get to a certain point and the whole thing falls apart. And that's another way, particularly if you're trying to tell a story that's beyond you on a technical, craft-based level, like it's got more complicated plotting than you're capable of doing right now at this point in your career. There'll come a point where the story just stops and you can't make any of it work and it falls apart. And if you go back and you read it, you can see it falling apart, but you don't quite know how to keep it from doing that. If you run into any of those kinds of things, it's probably because you've picked a story that is, at the moment, beyond you. I have done this a few times. It is so frustrating. But, on the upside, sometimes you get saleable stories out of them anyway, and you can revisit it later when you're a little more developed. And sometimes you don't. But you can always put the idea on the shelf and come back to it later. There are stories that we grow into. There's a lot of writers, particularly writers that develop over the course of their entire career. If you read their entire oeuvre from the beginning to the end, you frequently will notice certain stories being retold periodically. Not with every story, not even close, but they may come back to a similar premise four or five times over the course of their writing life as they come to a point where they feel like they can maybe tackle it a little better next time. And if you've got a favorite writer who seriously developed over the course of their writing career, try reading their first four or five books and their last four or five books. And you'll see, most likely, similar stories being told at the beginning and the end, but with vastly different competency levels and vastly different levels of sophistication. And that's one of the glorious things about doing this kind of a job. You get to explore the infinite depths, and you don't only get to go scuba diving once. Anyway,
I'm sorry I don't have anything more concrete to offer you, but hopefully that's helpful on some level. Thanks very much for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.